Welcome to the CEN Show, platform where we learn from the world community. I'm your host, Rosaki Maskani, and tonight on the panel we have Brother Ahi and Brother Mashinda. Our guest for this evening is Sister Noor Mayat, and our topic is self-governance, the republic, and capitalism in the age of democracy. And I'm going to just cut through the chase and go straight to it. Welcome, Sister Mayat. How are you this evening?
I am well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thanks for being here. So we want to go straight to it. I want you to tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we could start the discussion and the presentation.
Okay. Well, I'm Noor Mayat. AKA Shanette, AKA the book lady, AKA the teacher, AKA the jury lady, born and raised in California, currently living in Atlanta. And a lot of us migrated from California to Atlanta. I'm an author, and I've spent most of my life as an educator. And that's the crust of it, you know, a daughter and granddaughter and niece, all of those wonderful labels that we give ourselves. I think that in terms of the topic for the tonight, though, what's important is that I feel like I have a lot to share because I operate as a diplomat. I do not operate as a citizen. And really the crux of what we're going to be talking about tonight has to do with our identification, how we identify. So I will say that I do not identify as a lowercase 14th Amendment citizen.
Interesting. So now there's a word called sovereignty. So with sovereignty and self-governance, are they the same thing?
Well, the sovereignty does mean self-governance. It does mean, a lot of times people have misunderstood the term sovereignty, and they try to encapsulate that with, like, I've been to court and they use the term sovereign citizen. And there's no such thing as a sovereign citizen, because either you are sovereign, which a king and a queen are sovereign. The Pope is sovereign, which means that he and the God have a personal relationship. He's not looking for an intermediary to govern his life. But it doesn't mean that you don't have a sense of law that you are governed by. You have a sense of divine law. Right. So sovereignty is a way of saying self. It's a French word that actually means self-reigning. Right. Which means that you govern your head. Your aura is yours. You're not looking for somebody else to take responsibility for you or for what it is that you're doing in your life.
All right. So let's get into this topic here. Explain that title there.
Okay, so let's think about the idea of what it means to be self-governing versus what we do in the world that we live in, right? Most of us come into this world and we've been issued all of these certificates, right? A birth certificate, you get a certificate to drive, you get our license, you get actions towards, I mean, you get certificates to do if you want to open up anything that they tell you that is not legal. You have to have a certificate to do that thing, right? To get that to drink, you have to have a certificate or a license that tells you you're old enough to now participate in this illegal activity. But what's legal and illegal are the codes that are created by the governance, right? And the governance is the United States is a corporation. So it's almost like that corporation has its rules and regulations, and anybody that is under the guise of that governance has to follow those rules and regulations. And they call it a minimum point of contact. And what we don't know is that our minimum point of contact is often like a social security number or a driver's license or a when you go to register your child to go to school. If you go into a public hospital, if anything that you're using your social security number, anytime they're asking you for a social security number, that's minimum point of contact. That minimum point of contact gives the governance control over your whole person, over all of who you are. That's why they can put you in jail. Now, if we think about what's going on today with them bringing in the what they call the immigrants, right? And you see how they're giving them all the money, right? That is because they are trying to coax them in to becoming a part of the minimum contact. Because what's the end game is that these folks are going to get Social Security numbers. These folks are going to get numbers that right now they might have a TIN number or an EIN number, but eventually they will have a number that gives the government. And matter of fact, oftentimes that money that they're giving them is in exchange for that minimum contact, that ability to govern over them, to be able to decide whether or not they can give them a job or put them in jail, give them a benefit or take away a benefit. All of that is because the United States government, if we know how the United States government works, right? Anybody know how they, how we create laws in the United States? You know how we go about creating laws that govern us all, right? The federal government. So you have the federal government, then you have state governments, right? The state governments are the de jure government in a sense. You have de facto and de jure state governments. The de jure state governments are the governments that are really run by and for the people. That's why they don't like Trump, because Trump recognizes the fact that the federal government has overstepped their bounds in terms of determining certain things on a federal level. The federal government was never meant to play the role that it's playing right now. Because it over it it even with taxes, it wasn't supposed to be able to take taxes, right? The whole income tax, if you go through the tax codes, you recognize that the Federal Reserve is a foreign agency. It's a privately run agency. And the taxes are them telling the which the federal government was supposed to protect the people. Telling the people that they have to in turn pay them the Federal Reserve homage or pay them for the use of these dollars in ex to be able to exchange the dollar. So anytime you use a dollar, you're taxed on the use of that fiduciary, that third party entity that makes trade easier, supposedly, right? They give you the luxury of being able to hold their dollars, which diminishes the very quality of who you are into quantity. But in them doing that, they're able to now say, well, that's why they say it's demonic, because they are now taking your blood, sweat, and tears, your life blood, and they're exchanging that, or we volunteer to exchange that for these bank notes, these Federal Reserve notes that are nothing more than debt. They are actually debt. And we exchange that for debt because it's a debt-based society. We don't have any real money. That's not, everybody knows that. There's no gold, no silver. You are the real money. So the fact that you're the real money puts us in a position where now they're leveraging your energy. And because we're so able to use, they've sold that to China. They've sold those dollars to Russia. the people that hold more dollars, the most dollars, aren't people in the United States. So the United States, the federal government, plays a game in a sense that they say, well, the money that the energy that backs the dollar is the United States citizens. So anytime you hold a driver's license or a birth certificate or any kind of certificate, even when you hold any kind of note that you hold, all of that is backed by the Federal Reserve, and the Federal Reserve is dependent on the blood, sweat, and tears of the people. So, in the sense that now that's what we're seeing right now in the American economy, is that you no longer have you that we carry is diminished because the dollar itself that now that once backed our energy has diminished over time. So that's why, one of the biggest things that we have to begin to look at is our dependency on the government, on the dollar, on our should say our codependency, right? Because we really aren't dependent, but it's because we don't have enough self-awareness because we haven't lived in the space where we know how to feed ourselves. We don't know how to take care of ourselves. So that's why we really are enemies of the state in a way. And there's all of these different levels to the government. There's the level in terms of how, the level that enslaves us. You have the judiciary system that takes our energy, and it says, we're going to impose these rules and regulations on you. We're going to tell you, what's good and what's bad. And within those guys, as long as you stay within the lines, then we will reward you. If you move outside of those lines, then we're going to punish you. They're banking on there being so many people that will stay within the lines because it's almost like you trying to squeeze folks into a 4 by 4, 4 feet by 4 feet inches in your squeeze. So everybody is not going to fit into that space, right? And because you know that everybody's not going to fit into this space, the American business model has within it a penal system that has to have prisoners. So when and it's ingrained. If you go back to 77, 1776, that when you see that enslavement is part of the business model of what we call United States, then you begin to recognize that when Lincoln wrote the Emancipation Proclamation, two things happened. He said, one, we no longer taking care of the niggas. Their emancipation just means that we're absolved from taking care of you. That's why we can't get reparations. The other part of it is that he created a 14th Amendment citizen. That 14th Amendment citizen is free unless incarceration. So the incarceration is part of the undertow of the new enslavement program, right? So now everything that we are, how we interact with the social structure, how we interact with the school system, how we interact with the church, how we interact with our jobs, with the policing system, right? The penal codes, all of that has more to do with the 13th Amendment citizenry and trying to make sure that we're continuing to fuel the economy from that perspective of free labor, or labor that you might have to go abroad to go get. You don't have to go abroad to go get that labor anymore because you have people in the jails now that are giving you that labor for pennies on the dollar. And that's what that the difference between what we're saying here is that the 13th Amendment citizenry versus versus the sovereign is that the sovereign recognizes that we are responsible for ourselves, that we don't need somebody to tell us what's right and wrong, right? But then there's a price to pay for that because you also have to be willing to take care of yourself from your head to your foot. So now we look at all of these so-called amenities that are brought in from a state standpoint. So what kind of things when you think about a state, when you think about governance, we have a federal governance, we have state governance, we have county governance, and then we have a city. A city is nothing more than a company. It's a incorporated situation, and they claim a space. They say that this is our outline. This is this area. We're gonna call that Atlanta. And anybody that comes into this space, we are going to tax them because they keep custodialship of all of the residents, all the housing, and that so that becomes under their governance. And then you have a county that incorporates the cities within the county. Some of them, you know, you might have territories that get split. I mean, you know, in Atlanta, you might have a part of a city that belongs to DeKalb County and another part that belongs to Fulton County. So you can have a county that encroaches upon the area of a city, but when you pay your taxes, you're not paying your taxes to the city. You're paying your taxes to the county because the county is who has a relationship with the federal government. The city does not have a relationship with the federal government. So when we say a relationship, what relationship do you guys think? I'm just getting you guys back in with that the county has with the federal government, different than a city.
State that one more time.
What relationship does the county have with the federal government that the city does not have?
Good question. Who can answer that off
I
the
certainly can't.
top
there?
What do you say?
He said he can, certainly can't. Brother Mashinda, Brother Chiwari, can you answer that?
The county, the county. Well, they handle like funding. Aren't they like the agent that handles the federal funding that they disseminate throughout the cities in the county?
Yes, but how do they get the funding?
You mean how does the county get the funding?
Yeah.
You're muted, Brother Machinda.
Well, that's right. That's exactly where I'm going with it. But yes, how do they get the funding though?
I'm assuming that the county board of supervisors are in play because they're like the stewards. They handle a lot of the distribution of the funding. So, I mean, they're agents in place. I mean, politicians. I mean, you know, elected officials. I mean, like who actually? I mean, so the agencies that are part of the county. I mean, I'm trying to think of. But I
You're
would say
close
like the
enough.
bar. Okay,
You
go ahead.
close enough because let me just give it to you. It is it's the state representatives that come out of the county. The state representatives go into, I'm sorry, not the state, the state representatives go into the federal government and they lobby. They say, you know, my county needs X, Y, and Z for A, B, and C. So it's the state representatives that are counted from the county. The county is what determines how many state representatives that you have, and they come from your county. They're not coming from your city. If it's a city, then it's a state. It's the so if you're looking at, let's say you're in California, And it's the city of Oakland or the city of Long Beach or the city of San Diego. That city has money that it gets from the county, and it goes into it comes from certain areas. Like, so the state will give it money for the schools and for the roads and for, and they have all of this money earmarked, and they call them coffers. So you have a coffer, which is all the money that the city has. Now the city will charge taxes within the city for retail stuff. So it has money from commissioners, but the state gets money according to its counties, and it has the representatives and the legislators that go to the federal government that get the money for the state to do the things that the state needs to do to stay alive, right? To maintain their sovereignty, because in a certain way, the people have sovereignty in that sense. And when I say the people, it's the when you're talking about a governance or a state, you are gathering all the people, all of the interest of the people. And you're putting it together. And that's where they come up with the ideal of democracy. So now you have people voting to say, okay, we want to spend the money this way, or we want to spend the money that way. Now, if we look at the way things are right now, we could see there are a lot of issues with that. That business model works for the rich, because if you have a lot of money, then you can persuade and determine who the group is that are going to be able to be put in place to govern that money, to govern those coffers. So, of course, if you got more money in the coffer, your roads are going to get fixed first, your schools are going to get treated better, you're going to get the best teachers, you're going to get the best playgrounds, and that's the way that goes. So it's not completely Democrat. I mean, what's the word?
Democratic.
Democratic. Thank you. It's not completely Democratic. The real
It's a
issue
republic.
is, well, the undertone is that we are a republic, but the republic has been overlapped with the idea of democracy. Because democracy really comes as a response to how the federal government. The federal government puts in place this idea of democracy, because now it can govern the whole United States, right? It can govern the whole United States without really having to give credence to North Dakota's needs versus Oklahoma's needs versus California's needs versus Texas needs. Everybody gets lumped in, and that's why you get Roe v. Wade. That's where you get the implementation of the masks, telling everybody, all of these executive orders telling everybody that they have to shelter in place, all of this crap, and they want to further push an agenda. But the way that they got that power is through the federal dollar, through the federal notes. They never had that kind of power before. It was the dollar that gave the United States government the power that it has today to tell the states what to do and to take away their sovereignty in order to control the people within the states. That's one of the big things, is that we don't get that the ideal of democracy, and people who run to this ideal about voting from that perspective, we don't get that this democracy really disempowers the people within the states itself. That even being a state citizen is better than being a federal government citizen. You have no power as a federal government citizen.
So what distinguishes that then from a federal government citizen versus a state citizen? What distinguishes that?
If you are operating under a social security number, If you're operating with a social security number, then you are operating under a federal enclave, because that's how there really is two. Every state has two governments. They have a de jure government, and they have which is for the people by the people, right? Which it's almost unheard of at this point, but it can never go away because it's de jure, which means that it's true. And then you have de facto. Now, a de facto government is it's of the fact. It's almost like if you don't rebut it, it becomes true. So it's like if I said, the sky is purple, and I'm in a room full of people, and nobody says, "Well, no, the sky isn't purple. What are you talking about?" And then they leave instead of saying, "Well, the sky is not purple." But instead of doing that, they leave and they go tell other people, "Oh, the sky is purple." And after a while, you get what they call a critical mass of people who believe the sky is purple,
And
because
that's de
nobody.
facto.
It becomes de facto because, and
Okay.
now what looks like blue is now called purple. And that's what we're doing when it comes to our citizenry, because we now believe that we are citizens. We believe that. We don't know anything different.
So you being sovereign, do you have a social security number?
I do have a social security number, but I have a social security number that is in a different jurisdiction. You have to file different kind of paperwork.
The difference being
Huh?
the difference being what?
Well, I mean, it's a process. I mean, it when you, so I'm answering your question, and I'm saying that yes and no, that I'm not a citizen. You have to what you call rebuke or rescind. Go through a process of rescission where you actually let them know that you are not in under their jurisdiction.
Well, in order to take care of yourself, and you said this is one of the cost of being sovereign, to take care of yourself. What type of professions here in America can take care of themselves without any, say, government interference
Well, this is the
or
beauty.
aid?
Or without aid?
For instance, like I'm a member of the union. I couldn't be sovereign and be a member of the union. What
Okay.
professions, would allow you to live this lifestyle?
Okay.
I don't think a doctor could do it,
Well, no,
or a
because a doctor
nurse.
has to be licensed, like we said
Right.
before, anything, but a healer could, right? Somebody who understands indigenous healing and maybe knows how to also operate. They could be trained, but they could not practice under a license and claim sovereignty, because you need to have jurisdiction over people who are dealing with the public. That's part of the agreement. So let's go back and look at where the jurisdiction comes from, or where they get their ability to act in the authority over the masses, over the people, right? And to govern and dictate what gets licensed and what's legal and illegal, right? What's within that 4x4 and what's outside of it. That supposedly. So they come under the guise of protecting the public, right? That's what they tell us, that they're here to protect us. They want to make sure, even Kamala Harris, we're going to talk a little bit about her and Trump, because as a prosecutor, her whole point was that she was protecting the public, right? Somebody goes in and they say, I was harmed, this, that, and the third. Well, even okay, so even with let's take the most erroneous thing that she did, which was put mothers in jail behind their children not going to school. But she can only act on behalf of the public. So how does that protect the public? That protects in her mind. And see, this is part of the way that we skew things. We can say that it's in the public's interest that people go to school. You can even argue that people who are not educated end up in jail, even though it's oxymoronic because she's putting people in jail for not going to school. So it's like a preemptive strike, right? She's saying that in order to prevent further harm, I'm going to cause harm. So that's the way that that's the way that they come at it. That's the idea of their governance. So anybody that has got a license that interacts with the people, they're saying that they are governing them, police officers, medical professionals, food industry. You know, anytime you go in and you have to get a license to do a thing, like to have a restaurant, you have to have a license, right? So they're saying that they're protecting the public with these licenses, but they're not doing a great job. They're doing a suck job, right? Because, you know, we know that they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. What they are doing is what they call backsheesh. They're getting their money. They're getting their, you know, bribes, and they're defunct or debunked, defunct. They're not, they're ineffectual. They're not really a good custodians. They're horrible custodians, but we don't even look at the custodianship. We don't look at that because we're so caught up in the story, which is nothing more than a fiction, right? We're caught up in the story of the United States. So, and they get us just like what you just said, brother. I'm in the union. And if I give up my dependency, if I give up my relationship with this governance, then I give up my benefit. Because I'm binding into this system with my retirement, with my dental, with my health, with my medical, with my insurance. All of these things are part of the corporation. And they've done a good job with offering products. We have to understand them as products that have been offered over time. Even the banking institution is a product. Which is a benefit, right? So we don't know how to claim the benefit without being in it. But if you look at, but look at what they're doing with the folks coming in from down on the border. They're giving them money, right? You look at the Black community and you say, okay, well, why are the Chinese or the Vietnamese or these folks coming in and they get all of the resources, all of these loans, where and they get loans to come into my community and open up businesses in my community, provide services for me, but they won't give me the same money to provide for my own people. Now, why is that part of their business model? Because the dependency of Black folks, and we play a very, very different role. And I want to make sure I come full circle because there's a part of sovereignty that looks at before the European even came to the United States. And that's why they feel like they got us because we don't even remember that this land really was our land. We were here. We developed these institutions. All of this centralized banking, it used to be very functional before they came in. We had roads. We had a lot of these buildings that they talk about. We developed those, right? So these are not new. These are
Okay. Okay.
How did we lose them?
Excuse. Well, I want to know when was this specifically where we had certain things and then they came in. When are some dates that this actually happened?
Okay, so you know they don't hit the land until 1618. Well, by the time they come to this land, we have already developed roads. We already have a fully developed banking system. We have treaties among nations. Black people and indigenous people are what they call Indians today, right? We were interacting with them doing trade, like a lot of these big old huge buildings that and they use the World Fairs to blow up the buildings. So they did, these buildings were there. You go down to Texas, they have like these big, huge buildings that were for commerce that people would go into and trade. They would use, and they had a centralized banking system that had dollars that, well, not, maybe they didn't call them dollars. I don't know what they called them back then, but they also had a gold system.
And
Which,
this was before 1619.
and it went on. So America, the place that we call America right now, right? 1776, they only went down to Georgia. It was only 13 colonies. So the last one comes in 1800s. How long ago was that? That's less than 200 years ago, right? So this is 2023, 18, what, I think California is like 18, 1949 or 18, what is it, 1849?
And they called that joining the union, right?
Right, but I'm
Yeah.
saying that so California becomes a state in 1850. Now think about that. 1850, 15 years before the end of our enslavement. So before that, Louisiana is not really a part of the United States. It comes later. I come from a part of my mom's family comes from a part of Louisiana that was never part of the United States of America until after it wasn't even part of the French. So you guys know about all that. I don't have to go over that, do I? How the French sold part of,
Louisiana
so that's
too.
how they begin to acquire. So France was here and Spain was here, right? But they're here as occupiers. We still, the institutions were very much ours. The institution that they were running was slavery, the enslavement of our people. And that in and of itself created a whole nother, that's why I'm saying that that's their business model. When we recognize that as the business model, then we say, okay, now we can see all of the different facets of how they have used that to encroach upon who we really are.
Well, we know they ignore the Olmec heads and the different mounds and stuff they found here that were
Well, that was
thousands
it.
of years ago. But I want to ask you a question. You said that the dollar is the tool that the government has to get us to buy in to this system. And the dollar used to have a value based on it being a silver certificate. It had value. Now, as you forestated, it's about the people's energy or sweat or excitement, the people's faith in the dollar bill. Seeing that. That's the only value it really has is the faith that we have in it. And human beings, we're fickle. What happens when that faith diminishes?
Well, that's where we are now. That's where we are now. That's the tether, right? Because just look at what you just said. And I don't think that I'm attacking you in any way, but just see that I'm just trying to get into showing the moment as it is. The first thought that we have when it comes to our willingness to govern ourselves is what about, and we attach it to our money. What about the benefits that I'm getting? Do I want to give up that benefit? Right? The benefit of your retirement, the benefit of your dental insurance, your medical insurance, your all of that. But all of that, even though that all of those things are part of a de facto system, because when you look at the dentistry, they're tearing up our teeth. They've backed things that don't even work for our benefit. That, you know, the fluoride is messing with our brains. These folks are on a team that really is dependent on us, and in their dependency on us, are willing to sacrifice us for their benefit. But because we think that we're getting a benefit from them, we our willingness to sacrifice, we don't even realize that we're sacrificing. That's what I mean by it's almost like you being born in water and you don't know that you're wet. That's what the whole birth certificate is all about, because you don't even realize that the system itself is sucking from you. It's using you for it to continue. Because when you go into the grocery store and you say, okay, well, I'm gonna get this, I'm gonna get this, I'm gonna get this, and you're able to just this is you picking now, right? You choosing. But there's a whole penal code that follows that. If you don't pay with dollars, what are you going to do? You can go to jail. That's your dependency on dollars. If you, in order for you to eat, what do you need? You need
A
money.
chicken.
Huh?
Well, you can have a farm.
You can have a farm, but what, how are you going to get the chicken?
You gonna breed them.
But what you going to get the first one from?
Maybe I trade something I got in my house for it.
But do you operate like that?
Not usually.
Right, because our minds don't think. Although that would be the right way to do it, right? It's in us. That's what I'm saying. It's still very innate. That's part of your de jure self that says, I can solve my problems. But then there's another part of us that says, but what am I giving up to do that?
The
If I
struggle is
actually,
hard enough. The
huh?
struggle is hard enough. That's a
The
lot
struggle
of
is.
work. That's a lot of work. In fact, a lot of people are already doing that. And it's led us to look at them and said they're extremely impoverished people that are doing that are living that type of lifestyle right now.
You
And
think
I
so?
think
Pardon?
Brother Ahi, are you talking about the homeless? Not only the homeless, but like the extremely impoverished in the across the waters. Listen, here some things from each other. They do a lot of bartering. And some of them still go into the outhouse. And don't and might have water that's running into the house, but it flows out the house and goes into a ditch. There are people here in America living like that right now, and the model for that is like extreme poverty.
So Brother Ahi, you are looking at what, so your picture of sovereignty is limited. Your
Okay.
picture of sovereignty says, I can only have one chicken if I'm sovereign. I can only have no plumbing if I'm sovereign. I can only have, because all of this other stuff belongs to them. Because that's the idea. Is that all of the amenities in your life that you worked for don't belong to you, right?
If I work for them, they belong to me, yes.
But do they? In this system, they do not. Your house does not belong to you.
Oh, yeah, I'm paying taxes on it. Eventually, they'll take it.
Your car does not belong to you. You've worked for those things. You would believe that they belong to you because in your mind, you believe that all of these things, when you look at what it means to be self-governing, that to be self-governing means that you give up all of the amenities and all of the benefits of being a part of the greater society, right?
Right. So you're talking about not being a part of any society at all.
I never said that. I never said that. What? See, what? Why would you make that assumption? Why would you think that? Because I definitely
Well,
didn't say it.
because the way to those things is under some type of organized leadership, and it's going to be some society somewhere where all people can have a higher standard of living.
All right, you know what? Let me get the brother Machinda and Tawara. We're gonna, because I want his time is moving on us. I want them to participate. But we can come back to that. So hold okay. that thought, Brother Ahi, so we can come back to it.
Yes, sir, Brother.
Brother Mashinda.
Yo.
Jump in here with us. You have comment, question, or
well, I mean, no, I'm listening, and I mean, I understand what she's saying. You know, I mean, in its ideal state, you know, right now, I think she's pointing out, you know, the chaotic lifestyles and our dependencies and things like that. So it's like we relinquished our power to, to an entity to where they don't hold us in high interest. You know, it's not. So I get that. It's like extortion. You know, it's like a jack move. You know, it's more or less. And that's pretty much what she's spelling. That's what I'm getting out of it. You know, extortion. You know, you're going to jail if you don't do this. It's kind of like the, you know, if I'm running a syndicate or something in the streets, and somebody come up to me and say, hey, you know, we'll let you do it, but you know, we're gonna tax you. You know, you're gonna have to pay us every month. You know, they want their cut. You know, it's like they want their cut. So it's like they're pimping, you know. So in other words, you know, we've gotten out of our natural selves and basically surrendered our natural selves to a pimp gang, you know. So it's like, hey, take back your power. So basically, we all, I know for myself, I only can speak for myself. And so I'm born into this. And so it's my information that I receive in my life is based on what my mother and my father, you know, imparted. And so therefore, then they put me in a public school system. So I'm a firm believer, and I say it all the time, you know, I'm constantly, you know, trying to pick the game apart myself, where you go through this K-12 system. And they're not teaching you to keep your, you know, how to be self-sufficient, how to raise your own chickens, how to raise your own food, how to be self-sufficient, how to love each other, how to coexist. You know, so it's like you said, it's like demonic. You know, you're born into this system, and so we are helping perpetuate this system without even knowing it. And so I think she's just pointing out, like, hey, you know, you know what you're a part of? Do you know what's going on? Now, how we survive it, how do we come out of it? You know, hey, we got to find our angle, you know, we got to continue to, you know.
Brother Mashinda, Brother Mashinda, I got to drop in right here. This is what you call proper education. We're getting it right here raw. With Sister Noor bringing it to us, Brother Mashinda interpreted, Brother Ahi interpreted, and I know Brother Chiwara going to come with some information. And it all ties in to what our purpose is here and what we do. This is truly organic education right here, and it's evolving right here in real time. And this is excellent. Brother Mashinda, you're hitting it right on the nose. And I know, so we got to hear from Brother Chiwara. I didn't want to stop you, Brother Mashinda, but I just wanted to point out the fact that this is exactly why we do what we do. Because this is raw and real education. This is the real. And I'm just appreciative of you, Sister Maya, for coming on and bringing this information, because this is raw and real. Okay, Brother Chiwara, jump in.
Greetings and guidance and great gratitude for Sister Maya for coming through and putting down some real serious issues. And when we talk about Black liberation, when we're talking about freedom, the sister, this is a solution. And it speaks to the organization that is now presently holding us in the position that we're at now. When we're talking about the public, we're talking about a lot of people thinking that the public means the people, but the public doesn't really mean the people. It is in fact, it's referring to all governmental agencies and their agents. So when they say it's in public interest, they're just telling you that it's not in the interest of the people, but it's in the interest of the governmental agencies and their agents that's been put in place to prop up the de facto system. Now, when we talk about also self-determination, self-sufficiency, and self-reliance, that's something that we have to claim, and I do understand that the sister understand the process in which to do this. There is a definite process to do this. We ought to, as a people, focus more so on the process that detaches us from a system that is built on terrorism and fear. That's what the de facto system and of government, that jurisdiction is built on. The only reason that it was able to even happen is because they applied terror to force the people into their jurisdiction. Because extortion is a crime in this society. If you know that you're being extorted, any person in their right and correct faculty of mind will not go along with an extortion system in order for they themselves to be extorted. So it tells you that, yes, it's extortion, but you can't call it that unless you can prove it. And then once you find out that it's extortion, how do I remove myself from that type of assistance? And that's through the process that the sister is talking about, the sovereign process, you know, claiming your sovereignty, claiming that, because you have, the sister spoke about rescinding. You have to rescind once you know who you are, once you know that you are the Aboriginal and Indigenous people of this land, once you know that this land belongs to you. There is no other reparations to be had, but give me back what is mine. It's not about paying me money, although you can, we're not going to turn it down, but you already owe us money. You owe us more than money because we gave you gold. And that's on record. That's in historical fact. That's in treaty. So when Noble Drew Ali came and he was doing what he was doing, this is some of the things he was doing. He was bringing the people into the consciousness of themselves, number one, and he was also bringing them into the process to where they can be in the system, but take care of themselves through self-sufficiency, self-reliance, and self-determination. He was murdered for that. Right. He was beat to death. Malcolm X came with the same message. He was also murdered for that. Martin Luther King came with the same message, trying to include everybody at this point, trying to show that he's not just talking about blacks, he's just talking about the working class, what is called the common man. He got murdered for that. So who are we today? We're the remnants of that. We're the fruits of the liberation struggle, the black liberation struggle, which not only would free black people, but would free all people. So I'm really enjoying, and I'm so happy to see that you brought a sister like this, a being like this, to the forum, to the community, to speak at this level of reasoning. Because if we're not talking what this sister is talking about, that means we're not doing what this sister is talking about doing. This must be done if we are to have a foot to stand on. As long as you're within the de facto system, no sense in arguing about, because you have already relinquished your rights and authority to that system in order to maneuver and be of value to each other. We have to acknowledge the fact that the system is de facto, and we have to understand what the de jure government offers. And the de jure government is still there. It's not disappeared. It's there. John Hinson created it from the beginning. This is the rulers that ruled this place here we call America before George Washington. George Washington was the first president under the de facto system. So therefore, I'm going to say, you know, I want to follow this system, because see, I done got to a point where I was dealing with it at such a point. I got to the Federal Reserve Bank, and I was actually talking to the Federal Reserve Bank. I was talking to them concerning my account. And the young brother was with me, and he got scared because he didn't know what else to say or how to respond. So that's where that ended. And what I've noticed, people with information like the sister has, and I don't know how deep into it she is, if she knows how to actually complete every single process and get back your birth certificate, claim your life back. The documents are not being made by us. It's in the very system that we're now voting in. We are giving up our rights, our fundamental rights, our natural rights, every single day of our life by staying in this system. We're addressing things that's irrelevant to our liberation. And there are laws on record that speak to us directly. One of the laws is the United Nations Declaration of the Rights of Indigenous People. The human rights issue is also another law that's in place. But we have to rescind our position within the de facto system. And then we also have to declare our position in order to create a new jurisdiction in which we will live in, which is outside of the de facto system. And it's nothing about we can't do what we do without being in the system, because that's not correct. The reason for that is because, simply this, if you're a doctor, they've already given you a license to operate. But if you go to their licensing system, and as the sister said, you could be a healer, which is different from being a doctor. Mm-hmm. And so when you do that, now you're under a totally different jurisdiction. And with your traditional training within the de facto system of doctoring, when you go into the realm of healer, that just becomes an added incentive for you. And then there are laws for maxims that you would go by rather than color of law, which is the legal system. You know, where it says a workman is worthy of his hire. So you don't need a license to be who you are. Your knowledge and your actions, as verified by your clients, will verify that you are who you are. And then The fact that you're not in their de facto system means that they cannot touch you. But at the same time, you got to remember that their nature, their core energy, is terror. They break laws. You have to understand how they do this. This is a mention about, we had all these things before they came along. You know, and Brother Rasafi asked, what date you missing date? This was way before they came into existence in our culture. What they did was they destroyed our cities and buried it underground. A lot of it is under the ground here in America right now.
Right.
A lot of it is under dams, under lakes, I mean, under universities. I mean, whole entire modern buildings and structures that were not built by these Caucasians at all. You have to remember that we're in a different time right now. We're in a time of true liberation. We're in a God-ordered time when God has said his people must be free. And that's what we're experiencing. That's why you see all this havoc going on around the world. That's why you see Russia come out and declare that the black man is Christ, and that his nation of Russia will follow the black Christ. This never happened before. Not in modern history. You know, so these things are very important. So I don't want to take too much time, because you can't talk about these type of things in one setting, you know? That could be volume. So thank you, my sister. I love you. I don't know you, but I love you with a brotherly and a tribal love. You know, we are one blood, one family, you know.
Yes.
So thank you for coming into the Community Education Network and sharing with us this beautiful, beautiful truth. Because that's what it is. Natural, raw-born, naked truth. Thank you, Brother Russell.
Yes, thank you. Absolutely. That was wonderful.
Yeah. So Brother Ahi, let's get back to you. Now, where were we?
The sister is just explaining to me about my state of mind and not wanting to give up my things.
You're tethered. You have tethers. My tethers.
But I have things are the only thing that really separate this country from many of the rest of the countries. And it seems that a lot of the citizens are trying to really make their way here, even though they're not starving in some of the places I've been. They're not starving, they're not homeless, they're not sickly people, but they want these things. And the value of their dollar is not very much. And they're fooled, just like we are. And a lot of us are trying to get to them and live their type of lifestyle. And they're trying to get here and get these things. I'm just going to stop right there, sister, and I do appreciate you. Thank you so much.
And can I jump in? Thanks a lot. Can I jump in? Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Now, Brother Tiwara has a concept, and I think he would say it's true. The new faculty of thinking. Myself, I have a concept of mental revolution. And this is basically why this platform was started, because there is a need for people to change their mentality, because we do things that don't make any sense at all. And then I've got caught up in justifying things that I was doing that didn't make no sense at all. And then I try to, you do your best intellectually to justify it and just to make yourself feel okay. And it's a false sense of security when you actually doing things that don't make no darn sense, but you're justifying it. And this is why this space was created. And I'm overwhelmed by the intellectual truths that's being put out here and things that actually make sense versus things that don't. So I'm gonna just say that and I'm gonna leave it alone. I just need to put that in there. Okay, Sister Noor, let's get back to you and some of the things you want to express, because we're coming up on 1 hour and 10 minutes, which is fine, but you know, I want to, you know, let you get some more in or just, you know, continue, and then we could after you express a few things, we can end it for this evening. We'll take our pause.
Okay. Well, I want to address a couple of things in terms of Brother Ahi. I want to make sure that I just want to say that in terms of folks wanting to come to the United States, America is different than the United States. United States is Washington, D.C., and it's the franchise that gets it. It gives people the opportunity to act on behalf of that 4x4, or I don't know how big the Washington, D.C. is. It's not a very big district, right? But it is. So when you understand that the authority of acting as a state franchise of the federal government, then you begin to understand, okay, well, we have that as an institution, But you also have like all of these think tanks and all of these subsidiaries, NBC, ABC, CBS. Then you have the folks who work for, those are all propaganda machines that have, and they, it, propaganda is so big in America that they do have people believing that we have something milk and honey here. You can come get a big screen TV and live in a lavish house and own a big car and, you know, have 4.2 kids and a swimming pool and all of this stuff. If you come and give us who you are, you give up, but you got to give up being Mexican, you got to give up being Venezuelan. You can't speak your native language. You can't think the way that you used to. We say it's a melting pot, right? In order for you, now it's not, it's that, all of that is changing though, right? So the idea of the benefit of being in America used to be being a corporate person, being in a corporation or coming in and living out your dream. Right now, I would say the only people who still have a sense of what that looks like are people willing to own their own business. You don't have to have a social security number for that. Some of that is part of what I'm talking about in terms of sovereignty. You cutting grass, each one of those people are your bosses, right? As long as you cut their grass and you're doing what you need to do, then your exchange, even though it might be dollars, because that fiduciary, you're going to pay taxes on your use of that dollar, but you're still more sovereign than somebody who went into a corporate office and had to do what that man told him to do to get those dollars, right? So there are levels to this. It's not, sometimes it's not just as simple as I'm going to rescind everything and grow my own food. And then I got three chickens and a cow and life is wonderful. It's not, sometimes it's not that simple. There is stratifications. It takes years for people to undo. We have been in this. 1865 marked the beginning of our enslavement, not the end. So we've been enslaved since 1865. That mental capacity of enslavement, of going into these corporate offices, because before that, they wasn't sending Black people to jail. They didn't have no jails in America. The chain gang was for the white boy. And the reason why the white boy, because he was what they called sovereign. He was his own. He didn't have a master to say, no, that's my nigga. I need him. I got him. So you're not going to take him, and not only that, but the only real crime was running away from your enslaver, right? That was the only crime you could commit. Everything else was like, you was gonna get your ass beat because your slave, your enslaver was your master. He determined your thought process. He said what was good and bad. He gave you the religion that helped guide you through your enslavement. In terms of, you don't want to get beat, well, you do what master say, right? Before, so 1865 marks the point of us really becoming outside, emancipated. In other words, we're no longer, okay, I got you, Brother Chiwari. Outside of that system. So in that sense, we're just now getting our sea legs. It's almost like you lived in your mama's house all of those years. A lot of folks, if you look at our enslavement and the emancipation, a lot of folks was like, well, shit, where are we supposed to go? What are we supposed to do? We don't know nothing but this. That's the same thing we're going through right now. What are we supposed to do? We're going through a different emancipation, because in terms of what we're talking about, the United States dollar does not have the tethers, the binding ability that it once had. It no longer, so buying power is your binding, right? If you can go to work and exchange your time for dollars and then take those dollars and buy a lifestyle that you say, this was worth it. I can, you know, this was worth me giving up me to have a vacation, a car. You know, I'm not African, I'm not indigenous, I'm just a Negro, or I'm just Black, or I'm just an African, African-American, whatever label they give me, I'm okay with, because it comes with the benefit of the money, of the retirement, of the social, you know, all of the, I can go to my medical doctor, and he'll take care of me. I don't have to worry about, I can eat my chicken, I can have my pork, and even though it's tainted and filled with all kind of poisons, I can get medical assistance. They'll give me a pill to help me with that high blood pressure. They'll give me a pill to help me with my diabetes. And it don't instantly cure it. It really creates another level of dependency. But because it's part of this whole paradigm, it's another tether. We don't recognize that when we think we, you know, any benefit that you're getting from the system has a tether associated with it. Now, this is the harm that we have. And I do want to make sure that I want to say something about Kamala and Trump before we end. We don't recognize that the tethers that we have, that these benefits that we believe that we are getting, you're sucking your own blood. It's you that is providing the benefit, but it's because we don't have our leadership among ourselves. See, if we had leaders within our family, and our families were able to come together. What don't we have these days? You can't stand your brother. You can't stand your sister. You can't stand your wife. You can't stand your kids. You don't like your mama. You can't, your daddy was this, your mom. But we don't have any binders in our relationship. The only binding that we have is to this system. So that's why homosexuality becomes promoted, because homosexuals can't even have kids. So of course you can create a disconnect with them and a real relationship, because let's face it, promiscuity is sold wholesale in homosexual relationships. I know I'll probably get canceled behind that one, but it's the truth. Because you cannot create the real binding that comes from having a child and staying with that person throughout your life. Now, my grandparents stayed together, both of them, until they died. But that kind of relationship is not perfect, because life is not perfect. And we put it in juxtaposition and we say, well, if she don't come with this, or he don't come with that, if he ain't 6 feet tall, if they don't, and we create these ideas that are nothing more than fictions. And we believe the fiction and we debunk the truth. Because the truth is, love and relationship is imperfect because we're imperfect. So so we no longer work for our lives. We live to work, right? We work, we have what they call we live to work.
Yeah.
But we need to be working. But the real work, if we didn't have this fiduciary controlling and manipulating us like puppets on a string, then our relationships between our families would work. That's where the work is you figuring out how to work out that discrepancy that you have with your brother, or trying to figure out how to have a different relationship with your wife, how to talk to her in a way that she really understands what it is that you mean, that she gets it and she respects your decision, and vice versa. But that work, we would rather just say, well, they're stagnant ways of being a man. I'm just going to be that. They're stagnant ways of being a woman. I'm just going to try to do that. And instead of understanding that, no, all of this is malleable, that your relationship with your wife is your divine relationship. It's from the origin. And it comes from the origin of who you are. It comes from the origin, and because your job ain't your origin. You learned how to be that. But your relationship with your divine partner and your children and your mother and your father and your siblings and your extended family, if we were going in the right direction, we would have huge communities with multiple families that came together to live on the land, and now they exchange. And you're able to use technology in a way that enhances and protects that divine partnership. But because our minds don't allow for us to think that way, we don't even want to trust each other. We don't want to figure out how to make our lives better with each other. We try to make our lives better in the absence of each other. Because the value of ourselves is put on, well, shit, you know, this my money. I work for it. Right? That's the way they got us thinking, because they got us so tethered to a situation that gave you value based on your willingness to give up your sweat, your tears, and your soul to a system that enslaves you and does it with your permission.
Yes.
Hey, listen, this is simply powerful. I mean, hey, where did you come from? Where have you been all our lives?
I've been learning this stuff.
Oh my God, this is so powerful. Lord, help me, Lord. Hey, I gotta stop it here, Brother Jawar.
Okay,
I gotta marinate off of this. This is real. This is real.
My sister, what did George Clinton and the Funkadelics say? When they said free your mind and what?
And your ass will follow.
Okay, time out. Stop right there. I just was about to say that. I had it in my mind before you, I think, or we.
Wow.
I was gonna say that. Honest to what we doing here. I was just about to say that. Oh my God. This is hey.
That's why they co-opt the music industry though, because the music was telling us the truth. Earth, Wind, and Fire, even Frankie Beverly and the May and Maze, all of those real music has always been about us connecting to the divine. So
let's stop because hey, you know how they dropped the mic?
I have a part two, brother.
Look, you know how they dropped the mic? You did that, sister. You came with it. This for me, I'ma say this. This has been the best for me. I mean, it's at the top of all of our shows that, oh my God. Oh,
I'm just happy to hear somebody that's talking the truth.
Okay. I'm about to tell you our next guest, Dr. Inky Real. You hear that? Real. This was real. And the topic is holiday health.
Holiday health?
Holiday health. He's a naturopathic doctor.
Okay.
But holiday health. And so I want to thank everybody for being here that was here this evening. Brother Mashinda, Brother Ahi, Brother Chawara, and definitely you made my evening. And
good.
Sister, you knocked it out the park. This is so wonderful. So wonderful. I'm very pleased. Very. Thank you, Sister Noor Mayat.
Welcome.
You brought some newness to me.
Good.
What state are you in, sister?
I'm currently in Georgia.
She's right there with you, Brother Troyer. I told you I was going to introduce you.
Oh, great.
But I'm taking the pause and stay on, please, after I pause this. Thanks a lot. Each one teach one in Conscious Corner.